following message is from New Life Gillette series, Becoming Me. This week, Pastor Paul presents part four of this series.
It's so good to be together. Some of you don't know this because you're relatively new to the church, but for those of you who've been coming for a while, in 2 weeks, we still have one more week of Becoming Me after this week, but then a week after that, in August, we're going to be starting up that thing that we call At the Movies. Who was excited about At the Movies? Yeah. So what I want you to do is start thinking now, who is that individual? Because this is a great time of the year to invite someone to church. Who's that individual that you know that you could invite? And if you have kids downstairs and at the movies with kids, it's going to be so exciting. Darcy has some amazing movies ready for the kids down there. So exciting. So we have one more week of this after today of Becoming Me. So welcome to those of you who are in the room. Welcome to those watching online, those who are at the prisons and at jail. It is so cool to be together with all of you because we've been talking about this thing for the last 3 weeks, now in the fourth week, of this idea of becoming me. And we hopefully you all have this card. If you haven't received one of these cards yet because you haven't been here yet, raise your hand. We have some people in the back that want to make sure that you have a card. So anybody need one of these? If so, yep, a couple over here. Yep, awesome. Because we're trying to fill out this card and fill in each of these bubbles so that we can better understand the me who God created me to be. The best version of me is the one as I understand how God created me, how he empowered me, how he's transforming me. What does that look like? And so the first 3 weeks have been awesome. If you missed any of those, I invite you to jump on our website, watch those first three sermons because they have been so powerful. Today, we're going to be looking at one that I'm excited about. We're talking about gifts today. I had a gift this morning. Do you ever have one of those moments with a kid when they give you a gift of saying one of those things that just catch you so off guard? Daniel, this morning, I was out eating my breakfast. Karen and Daniel were back in the bedroom starting to get ready for church. And I walked back. Well, Daniel was laying on my bed, on my side of the bed, underneath my blanket. And so being the fun dad that I try to be once in a while, I laid down on Karen's side of the bed and I looked at him and I said, "What are you doing on my side of the bed?" And Daniel very quickly said, "I'm peeing." Dude, no! He wasn't, praise God. But in that moment, he just looked at me with this look like, "Dad, I got you." Oh, kids. Well, we're talking about gifts today. And, you know, so as I start talking about, we're talking about spiritual gifts is one of the next bubble that's on there. It's a square on there. And as you think about gifts, so many of you are already thinking about some of the great gifts that you've received in your day. And, you know, for instance, here's one that my family got at one time. Back when my dad had passed away first, then my mom passed away. And as we were working on the estate and getting ready for the house and everything, my brother and I decided for all the grandkids that we wanted to give them a gift from Grammy and Pappy. What is something that they wanted to take out of the house to remember Grammy and Pappy by? And so as I shared that with my kids, I very quickly wanted to say, you know what? Pappy has this amazing belt sander over there. And there's a great drill that maybe you want a circular saw, bring that into our house. And if I happen to use it, it's okay. But one of my daughters said, if I'm going to remember Grammy, I need one of those. She got this bunny. See, my mom is one of those individuals, and maybe you're one of these, that you like dust collectors. Anybody like dust collectors out there? Some of you do, and that's great. My mom had so many of them in her house. So one of my daughters said, I want to remember Grammy and get one of her dust collectors instead of the belt sander. And I still love my daughter. You know, it's one of those things. But, you know, today, though, we're talking about gifts because God has gifts for you. And we're, as you think about that, you know, you're used about getting gifts on birthday and Christmas, but now here's an extra gift to be excited about. And both Paul and Peter throughout the New Testament talk about these spiritual gifts. For instance, Peter in chapter 4 says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Isn't that exciting? To think about getting a gift from God. I mean, getting a gift from one of us, that might be good, but this is from God. And so we want to try to figure out then what are these gifts that God has for us and how do we best use them? And so we're going to start doing that by not first looking at what they are. Let's first get an understanding what they are not, because sometimes there's some misunderstandings. What spiritual gifts are not? Three things we want to look at. First, spiritual gifts are not personality traits. Karen talked about personality traits last week because that's part of how God created us. I invite you to watch that sermon and check it out. And personality traits are given to each and every person who ever walks the earth. God, as he's knitting each of us in our mommy's womb, God is instilling that personality that we all are trying to understand and live out as God creating us. But spiritual gifts are not personality traits. Spiritual gifts are not actually given to everybody who walks on the earth. And we will talk more about that in just a moment. So they're not personality traits. They're also not talents. And we all have talents of different kinds, of different ways. Some of us are born with a certain kind of talent, like la, 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 la. Some of us can sing, and we learn that gift early on. Some of us learn talents. For instance, I learned how to juggle. Can you grab that and throw it back up to me? Thank you. I'm kidding. I can juggle, though. But, you know, we all have these different types of talents. You know, some of you know how to sew. Some of you know how to shoot a gun really well. We have different talents that we can utilize. And both personalities and our talents can be used alongside of spiritual gifts or empower our spiritual gifts, but they're not the same thing. And also, spiritual gifts are not character traits or fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit are the things that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. They are traits that God wants all of us to grow inside of him so we can imitate God. Things like love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, not selfishness, self-control, faithfulness, just amazing characteristics of God. God wants to grow in each of us. But they are not spiritual gifts. So those are the things that they are not. Well, we need to start figuring out then what are spiritual gifts? Well, we put those two words together, gifts. We'll talk about that in a minute, but then we got that spiritual part, and some of us might be scratching ahead and saying, what does that have to do with the gift that I got from God? Let's look to the source, Jesus, and figure out what Jesus says about these so we better understand it. Before the disciples, or before Jesus went up to heaven, he wanted to get the disciples ready for that moment, so he says to them, if you love me and you obey my commandments, so if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have given your life to Christ, if you have said, yes, I want you as my Savior, as my Lord, and accepted him into your life, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He then says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, person that stands alongside of you, assists you on your journey, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. There's that spiritual part that we're talking about. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world, those out there who don't know Christ, who aren't following Jesus, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you, if you have given your life to Christ, because he lives with you, you know him because he lives with you and later will be in you. So what Jesus is saying here, if you want to follow Jesus, if you give your life to Christ, then you get a gift. Now, for some of you in the room, you're still figuring that part out. You haven't fully said yes to Jesus yet of giving your life to him, of accepting him as your Savior and your Lord. And so if that's you, I want to give you an extra gift today. There will be some people right down front here after worship who would love to talk with you and to pray with you, and to help you better understand what it means to say yes to Jesus, to the eternal life that Christ has for you. And also, I would go back and watch Pastor Mike's the first sermon of Becoming Me, because he talks about that new relationship that we have in Christ. So again, if you haven't said yes yet, that's the first step. But for those of you who have said yes to Jesus, that you are following Jesus with your life, you get a gift, and you get a gift, and you get a gift. He gives you these gifts as he lives inside of you to change and transform you. So, okay, that's the spiritual part, that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us to change us. What's the working definition then of spiritual gifts? Well, let's work with this one. Spiritual gifts are special abilities, not talents, but special abilities, and we'll talk about those abilities in just a minute, given to each Christian by the Holy Spirit so that, important two words there, there's a reason that they're given, so that we can each share the love of Jesus and strengthen the body of Christ or the church. Let me read that again. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given to each Christian by the Holy Spirit so that we can each share the love of Jesus and strengthen the body of Christ. So, happy birthday, Merry Christmas. If you are a Christian, we have these gifts that are given to us for the sake of the church. And that's what we have to make sure that we caught to sow that they are given for a certain reason. They are not supposed to be set on the shelf just to collect dust. We're not supposed to re-gift them. We're not supposed to put them in storage. But instead, well, let's go back to the passage that Peter shared and watch the second half of that passage. Peter says, God has given each of you a gift of his great variety of spiritual gifts. Why? Use them well to serve one another. We have a requirement with these gifts. They're not dust collectors. They are to be utilized as we become the me who God created us to be so that we can serve others, be part of this thing called the body of Christ. We are called to walk with Christ in this way. Now, the thing you might be wondering, well, I like being blessed myself, and you're wanting me to bless others, to serve others, but here's the thing. If we are all part of the body of Christ and all serving within our gift mix, then we're all getting blessed. We're being blessed by being served by others. We're being blessed by serving for God's glory, and we're being fulfilled because we're the me who God created us to be. These gifts are yours for the purpose of blessing the body of Christ. There's a reason for them. God wants you to receive them and use them for the sake of the church so the church can be what God needs it to be. All right, so we got a good understanding of what it's supposed to be. So now we need to dig into one of these texts. Paul writes several texts. There's one in 1 Corinthians. There's one in Ephesians. We're going to look at the one that Paul starts to give us an understanding of these spiritual gifts. We're going to look at the one in Romans. Because in this one, not only does he share what a lot of these gifts are that we'll get to in just a minute. Hang on, it's coming. But he also shares us some understandings of how they work in the body of Christ, including a warning. And we find that as we jump into 12 verse 3, he says, because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. So pay attention. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. What is he meaning by this? Well, let me share it this way. Back when I was a youngster, and a little kid, my brother and I, we loved Matchbox cars. And so every year at Christmas, guaranteed, we would always get at least one, maybe two new Matchbox cars. And we always couldn't wait to see what they were going to be. And let's say this one year that my brother, his Matchbox car was a Corvette. Nice car, right? That'd be exciting to get that car. And mine was a Chevy Chevette. Anybody know what a Chevy Chevette is? It was actually my first real car. It's one of those cars that you have to lather up with olive oil to be able to get into the car because it's such a small car. So my brother got the Corvette, I got the Chevette. Now, what you're not supposed to do with when you look at the gifts that God gives us, you're not supposed to compare your gifts with the person next to you. But instead, Paul says, compare them, look at them, measure your gift based on the giver, the one who gave them to you. So look at mom and dad and how much they love us. They gave us gifts. Look at God and trust God. Have faith that God best understands each of us and the best gift to give to each of us so that we can be fulfilled and the body of Christ can be what God needs it to be. Don't look at someone else and say, boy, they have that cool gift. I wish, no. Look at your gift, measure it based on the God who loves you so much that empowered you with a gift to serve in the body of Christ. Paul then shares a really cool image. He shares it in different places. He shares it this way to help us better understand. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. You know, we get that, don't we? That imagery that our bodies have these different parts, head, shoulders, knees, and toes, eyes, ears, and each of those parts, when those each part is working well, the rest of the body is happy and things are going well. But sometimes if one part of the body isn't doing as it was supposed to do, if it's struggling to carry out its duty, let's face it, other parts of the body sometimes hurt as well. For instance, sometimes when my ears aren't working as they should, sometimes my arm ends up hurting. Maybe you've experienced that. You know, sometimes if I'm watching a football game or something and I'm focused there and my wife is over here talking to me and my ears aren't working as she would hope that they would, sometimes my arm starts hurting. All of us are given giftedness. All of us are given these gifts by the Spirit, and they all need to work as part of the body of Christ because God depends on each of us to become who God created and gifted us to be so that the church can become what God wants it to be and needs it to be. God needs each and every one of us to use the gifts that we are given so that we can be who we are. Paul also says, again, using the same imagery in Ephesians, he says, God makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts of the body grow. We are dependent on each other so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We begin to see that God needs each and every one of us not to be a dust collector, not to take that gift and set it aside, but instead to utilize that gift to carry out the ministry of the church so that the church can work as it's called to be. Okay, we got a good understanding of how it's supposed to work together as the body of Christ. Now we need to start figuring out what are some of those gifts so each of you can start figuring out what do I put in this little box as I know how to better serve in the body of Christ. Paul then continues on and starts sharing some of those. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Again, special abilities. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving or helping others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness or compassion to others, do it gladly. So Paul starts sharing all of these different gifts of prophecy, of teaching, of leading, of giving, of helping, of serving, of compassion. And he starts sharing these gifts. But notice that he doesn't just give you a list of what they could potentially be, but he also says, if this is your gift that you have received, don't just sit on it. Get her done. Let that gift play out in your life, in the body of Christ, so that the church can become what it needs to be. God wants us to be working where he has gifted us, how he's created us to be. When we use what God has graced us with, people are helped, he is honored, and we are fulfilled. It blesses us. When we use our giftedness the way God has empowered us to giftedness, I'm telling you, it's exciting. You walk away from that moment and you say, thank you, God, let me do it again. Because he just gives you that extra natural ability to be able to do some of these things. So we looked at some of that list. And again, Paul lists other gifts in other places. So let's get a full working list of what 20 or so of these gifts are so that you can begin to think, okay, I wonder what mine is, as we begin to see some of these. Here's the first half of the list: administration, apostleship, compassion, discernment, evangelism, encouragement, faith, giving, healing, helping. There's so many cool gifts up here. For instance, administration, man, I love it when somebody has the gift of administration and they're working around the church. For instance, Belle Christensen, some of you might know her. She's on our local board of administration. And Belle, there's no doubt, she has this gift. It's the amazing ability to be able to take a group of people and a project and get it from point A to point B. and to administer that team and carrying that out. And as a matter of fact, right now, she is leading a small team and getting them ready, getting us to the point where it's the team that's going to the grand opening when our facility is all done, when we cut the ribbon. She's overseeing, administering that team as we get ready for that special celebration. And the other cool thing for us that Belle does for us is her husband, Brad, he doesn't have this gift. He has another gift. And when he uses that gift, it is a powerful thing in the life of the church. But sometimes we have to rely on Belle to administer Brad and getting him where he needs to get to so he can carry out his gift. And so, Belle, thank you for using your gift and blessing us and getting Brad where he needs to be. Another great gift, apostleship. And some of you are saying, ooh, that sounds good. Well, apostleship is such a powerful gift. There's maybe not as many people has it because it's maybe what we might say higher up in the life of the church. Doesn't mean it's better than others. It's just Billy, who used to be the pastor here at the church before Pastor Mike, has this giftedness. And that, Mike, that's kind of the reason that he left us. It's not because that we had bad breath or that he didn't like us anymore. It's because of the gift. And the apostleship gift is the ability to work not just with one church, but many churches at the same time, walking alongside of many pastors and raising up new pastors for the sake of the bigger picture of the kingdom of God. And I thank God kind of that Billy left us. Well, it depends which day it is, because we love Billy. Another great gift that I love up here is this one here called helping, sometimes called serving, as we saw in Romans 12. And a lot of you have this gift. I've seen it play out in your lives. And it's the ability just to help others, serve others in the life of the church, whatever is needed. One of my good friends back a few years ago, Jimmy, in one of the previous congregations I served, and I knew that Jimmy had this gift. It was so obvious because I kept hearing this same phrase over and over again. Jimmy will do it. Or sometimes it was a little bit different. Well, go ask Jimmy. Because everybody knew that when something needed to be done in the church, he was there. If someone spilled something on a Sunday morning, he already had the vacuum or a rag to wipe it up. If we needed chairs moved or set up somewhere, he already had half of them done before anybody else even knew it needed to be done. And it wasn't just here in the facility, but if one of the widows in our community of faith needed something done, changing a light bulb over at Ida Mae's house, Jimmy was there. If Gertie needed her shovels walked, he would walk shoveled. He would go over and shovel her walks. It was amazing to see how Jimmy was constantly there helping people, serving people in whatever capacity was necessary. One time I sat down with Jimmy and I asked him, I said, I just want to know, why do you do what you do? Why do you help people the way you do? And it was so funny in that moment. Jimmy gave me one of those looks like, dude, you don't know? You're the pastor and you don't get it? And I said, well, I kind of get it, but I just want to hear it out of your mouth. And he said, why do I help others? Because he first served me. Jesus served me first and blessed me, so why wouldn't I? And beyond that, if me cleaning up some crumbs on a Sunday morning or moving some chairs or changing a light bulb, if that even helps one person find Jesus, man, that's worth it. Do you hear the so what? The attitude that Jimmy brought into using his giftedness in the body of Christ. Another great one that I see regularly, and some of you have this gift, and I've seen it, is this one called giving. Now, some of you might be wondering, what about giving? Aren't we all supposed to help people? Aren't we all supposed to give? And the answer is yes, because if we are a Christian, for God so loved the world that he gave. Yeah. And so if we're a follower of Christ, naturally, we all are called to give. We're called to be a generous people. But God, by the Holy Spirit, empowers some individuals to be able to go above and beyond the average giving into an amazing level of giving. Sometimes it's out of their wealth. Sometimes it's just out of their capacity of desiring to give the shirt off their back to someone. I remember one person a few years back in one of my other congregations. His name is Fred. And Fred, he was so good at earning money. He just had that entrepreneurial way of just, and people who know him well knew that this was a guy who made a lot of money in his day. But the amazing thing is, as you got to know Fred, you'd never recognize that. You'd never know that. Because Fred was one of those guys. I drove up to his house one time. I was supposed to deliver something to his house. First time I ever gone there. And I drove up to his house and I stopped in the driveway and I turned around and went back to the church to make sure I had the right address. Yes, that was before those little GPSs that we carried around in our pockets. I didn't have one then. But I went back to the church because the house didn't look like the person that I knew Fred was based on the level of giving that he gave. And it wasn't just the normal general giving when we had a go offering or when we had an all-in campaign. This was a man that, our family, who just gave abundantly above and beyond. And it wasn't because he wanted to get a plaque on the wall. He didn't want the pat in the back. He didn't even want the ability to be able to influence the leadership because of him giving so much to the church. No. I heard him ask one time, kind of like I asked Jimmy, Fred, why is it that you give so much to these things that you give to? And his answer was basically, if even one person, well, it was because he was giving to a church camp at that time. He says, if even one kid gets to know Jesus because I gave a little bit of money, it's worth every penny, every nickel, every dime. You know, it's that heart of giving. It's that heart of using the giftedness the way God empowered us to be able to be part of the body. The other list, let's look at some of the other ones on there. There's some great ones here. Tongues, interpretations of tongues, knowledge, leadership, miracles, prophecy, servanthood, shepherding, teaching, wisdom. There's so many great ones there. Like knowledge and wisdom, they kind of sometimes go together. That's the ability to be able to dig into the big things of God, the big thoughts of God, whether it's scripture, whether it's just thinking about God and creation and all of that. A lot of our authors that are Christian authors that are out there will have that giftedness to be able to help the body to better know the things of God. Another great one is leadership. That's Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike has the ability to stir people, to cast vision, and to build strategies to be able to make things happen in the life of the church. Man, it's so much fun walking alongside of his leadership gift. Some of you you've seen the gift of teaching played out. That's the ability that God gives to certain individuals to be able to take these big things of God and present them in a way to others, whether it's littles or biggers, and just be able to help people better know Jesus. Some of you might be saying, what in the world is this thing called tongues and interpretation of tongues? And, you know, there are some people in the church, the big church, that have might slight different disagreements of what this looks like. But let me tell you what it is not, for those of you who are curious. The gift of tongues is not grabbing a lollipop and being able to lick that lollipop. It's not that. And Alan, it's not kissing, all right? I want to make sure you know that. That's not what tongues is talking about. I don't want you getting excited about this. But instead, tongues is basically the God-given ability to be able to communicate better with someone that's in front of you. And sometimes that's a special prayer language between you and God that some people have. And sometimes it's that God-given ability to be able to communicate with someone of a different language, somebody that speaks differently than you speak. And not because you learned a language in college, but it's just you're able to communicate with them. One place that we use this regularly here at New Life is we require all of our youth workers to have the gift of tongues, because if you ever try to communicate with a teenager, you need a special gift. You know, it's just, that's what's necessary. Sarah, do you have that gift? Where is she? She's not up there right now. She must have had to go get Burke. Another great gift that I see on here, it's one that we have to look, the previous gift had faith on it, and a lot of times that goes with miracles. Now, what I'm not saying there, my wife picks on me sometimes when I'm saying this word. She thinks I'm saying that little yellow flower, marigolds. And yeah, and because I grew up with my mom, who grew up in a very small country town, and we put batteries in our devices to get them to work, and sometimes instead of washing clothes, we wash them. So maybe some of you do that too. So when I say that word, I'm saying miracles. Did I get it right? I still didn't. See, pray for me. But a lot of times faith and miracles, they go together. And I know that we're all supposed to have faith, right? It's another one of those words that we're all called to have faith in Christ as we walk with Christ. But there are some people who are given the extra added ability by the power of the Holy Spirit to have an extra level of trust in God, a faith in God that allows them to do some special things. And one of the greatest things is we like those individuals to be on our prayer team. Like Pauline. Again, Pauline was in one of my previous churches, and Pauline, she was around 80 years old, and she had some health issues that kept her from getting out of her house very often, but her brain was as sharp as a tack. And so she led our prayer ministry. She was in charge of it. And every once in a while, when trying to get the prayer request that we had to her, sometimes I would just stop by her house, and to be able to share those things with her. And the one time I remember in particular, we had something going on at the church. We were getting ready to start a new ministry and change is hard. And so there was a few of us that were a little anxious about it. So I thought, I'm going to share this with Pauline. So I went into Pauline's house and said, Pauline, this is what's going through. And she could very instantly see I was a little anxious about this. I was a little concerned. And so she says, you come sit down next to me. So I went over and I sat down next to Pauline. And she said, we're going to pray. And she took those 3-inch fingernails of hers and dug them into my bare leg. And I was praying instantly because I was trying to not cry out and, ah, God help me. But then she started to pray. And that woman took me into the throne room of God. With her level of faith and her trust that God was going to figure things out for our church and God was going to move miraculously as we figured out how we were going to move forward as a church. And she took me next to Jesus, and it was such a holy moment. This was a woman that didn't just lead out of her faith, but she also took care of a prayer team. And this team loved connecting with Pauline because they were stirred by her faith, and which empowered their faith that the Holy Spirit had given to them to pray in ways. And it was just a miraculous time in that church as we saw God do things out of the prayers of this team. Another cool one, last one that I'll mention here is this one called shepherding. I love seeing this one play out. And sometimes it's called pastoring. It's the ability, kind of like a shepherd, to take a flock or a small group of people and take them from where they are in their relationship with God and move them down the line to get them into a better place with God. And the cool thing is some of our life group leaders have the gift of shepherding. Not all of them. Some of them have the gift of teaching or the gift of compassion, and they serve in different ways. But when somebody has a gift of shepherding as a life group leader, the people that they're walking alongside of, man, they love it because they are being taken on a journey with God. And so if you figure out that you have that gift, let us know, let Karen or I know, so that we can help you maybe on a journey becoming a life group leader. But as we look at this list, though, every single one of these gifts, every single one of them have value. And if you have one of those gifts because you're a Christian, which if you are a Christian, you do have one of those gifts, the best thing you can do is use it. Because again, when we use what God has graced us with, people are helped in different ways at different times. People are helped. He is honored. God is just blessed when you take the gift that he has given you and you use it to bring honor and glory to God for the sake of the body of Christ. And you're fulfilled. You are more fulfilled when you are using the giftedness that God gave you as you move forward in serving the kingdom. So here's the next step. Now that we know what a bunch of these are and what some of them look like, here's your next step. Now, some of you are already serving in your sweet spot. You know what your gift is. So write it on a card and just celebrate what God is already using you for. But for those of you who haven't yet figured it out, here's the next steps. Unwrapping and utilizing the gifts. You got to do it. Again, you can't keep them on the sidelines. You can't keep the dust collector. You have to unwrap them and utilize the gifts. How do you do that? 3 steps I want you to do. First, pray. It's simple. Pray. Because here's the cool thing. This is one of those prayers that God loves to say, okay, if you pray, God, I want to better know how to use the gift that you have given me for the sake of the kingdom of God, God's going to be, yes, let's go. Let's figure it out. Let's go on the journey together. The next thing you need to do is research. Start figuring out. Look at the list that you were given and take an assessment. Just like Karen asked you to do one last week, I want you to take an assessment to answer a bunch of those questions that will help you get an idea of what they are. And you go, there's a website, New Life Gillette, on our church website, /spiritual gifts. And there you will find a link to an assessment that you can utilize for getting an idea. Again, it's not going to say this is definitely what your spiritual gift is, but it'll give you like 3 or 4 ideas of what they could be. And once you see that list, then you start saying, okay, let me make sure I know what each of those are. On that same website, they have all the definitions of what each of those gifts might look like. Read them over. Start praying about it again, and maybe even ask someone else to help you. What do you think? Does this look right for me? And then most importantly, once you get an idea of what those gifts might be, start serving. Until you are involved in serving, you're not going to know what God is blessing. If you're just there pondering for the next 3 years, it could be this. You're never going to be fulfilled by figuring out who God has created you and gifted you and empowered you to be. You got to start somewhere. Now, again, some of you already know where you're serving, but there, for those of you who don't, as you start figuring it out this week and doing your research, next week we're going to have some cards available that has a lot of the places in New Life where you can sign up to serve. Fill it out. Try some of those places so that you can begin to figure out what God is calling you to be. Because here's the deal. This is not what God wants of you. He doesn't want you to be a dust collector. He doesn't want you sitting on the sideline, because when you're on the sideline, the rest of us are missing out on the God-given special abilities that you have to make the church work as God wants it to work. Because here's the deal. Throughout the ages of history, there is absolutely nothing like the church. The people of God on a mission for God, doing what God has called them to do. There is nothing like the church when it is working right. And working right depends on you walking with God.